Our scripture reading, we turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, let's read together the entire chapter. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. This is the word of God. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The text we consider, verses 12 and 13, especially there at the end of verse 12, that admonition, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, what a command, what an exhortation the Word of God sets before us this evening. Work out your own salvation. So that if a minister or an elder would come to you in some type of a pastoral visit and would say, do you know what's necessary for you to do? This is what's necessary. You need to work out your own salvation. And then how would make you feel? How would that make you feel? And what would be your response? Would that make you uneasy? Would that make you cringe inside? Or would that make you angry and indignant? And that you say, well, we don't work out our own salvation, and how dare he tell me to do something like that? Well, beloved, we need to understand what an admonition like this in Philippians 2 is all about. In the first place, we need to understand this because of the own controversy that we have gone through as a denomination over the past few years, not only concerning the relationship between justification and sanctification, but then even more broadly with regard to salvation itself. And the questions that we face are these. What is salvation? Is the believer active in his own salvation? And if so, is this activity a condition? Is the believer called to do anything with regard to his salvation? And the text tonight answers those questions. But then in the second place, we also need to understand what the text means in order to guard us from especially two different dangers. And the first danger is works righteousness. It's the danger of viewing the work that I do in my life as a work in order to merit with God. Works that I perform so that supposedly, my salvation becomes dependent upon those works. Works I perform making God obligated to give me something because of something that I performed. That's works righteousness. And the text warns us of that. But then, secondly, the other danger is the danger of becoming a careless Christian. That's the danger of when somebody says, I don't need to do anything as a Christian. Hasn't Christ done everything for me? There's nothing left for me to do. And then in extreme cases, whether that person acknowledges it or not, but this becomes his excuse for lazy church attendance, for poor adherence to his own personal devotions, and even sometimes outright engaging in sin, the excuse is, I don't have to do anything because Christ has done it all. And when you tell me that I have to do something, I'm beginning to think that you are denying the sufficiency of the work of Christ for me. And because Christ has done it all, I can do as I please. I say that's careless Christianity. And then all of the commandments and all of the imperatives of Scripture become meaningless and fall away for such a person. Well, the text here in Philippians addresses those two dangers and gives us the biblical view of what are and are not the duties of man in regard to his salvation. So let's consider this text. We take as our theme working out our own salvation. Let's note in the first place the appropriate command and what this command means and is all about. Secondly, the divine power. That's verse 13. For it's God who works in you. both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And finally, the humble spirit, working out your own salvation. The text calls us to work out our own salvation. We need to know what salvation means. And it's a good word. It's a word that we're very used to and we use every day, especially when we get on our knees and we pray to God and we thank God for the salvation that he has given unto us in Jesus Christ. So even though it's a word in our vocabulary and we know what it means and we use it rightly, but we need to know especially what it means in connection with this verse of the Bible, work out your own salvation. Salvation is very broad. Salvation covers the very beginning of our life all the way to the very end of our life. By the beginning of our life, I mean that very first instant when we became alive spiritually, our regeneration, and by the very end of our life, I mean our final glorification into heavenly glory. Salvation is that entire work of God which he delivers us from sin and brings us into the enjoyment of his love and fellowship, never to be taken away. And therefore, salvation includes all of the steps of what we call the Ordo Salutis. That's a theological phrase that means the order of salvation, the order in which God applies to us all of the blessings of salvation. So that in the first place, that those blessings of salvation are many. In the first place, regeneration, the first time God gives us the Holy Spirit, often when we are very little, but the first time God gives us the Holy Spirit and gives us new hearts and implants into us the life of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there is the blessing of salvation of the calling. God calling us efficaciously through the word of the gospel to believe on him. And then there's faith. Faith so that God gives us that faith, so that we do believe, but faith a bond that unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the spiritual confidence and assurance to trust in and rely upon Jesus Christ. Then there's the blessing of justification, whereby God forgives all our sins and imputes unto us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Then there's the blessing of sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit purifying us so that we flee from sin and devote ourselves unto God. And then finally, preservation and glorification, God preserving us all our life long so that we never can fall away. And finally, bringing us to the glory of heaven. Now, all of this is salvation. All of these are the various blessings of salvation. And now the question is, work out your own salvation. We say, well, from what point of view? Well, what aspect of salvation is it speaking of? Work out your own regeneration? We say no, because we're passive in our regeneration. We don't work with the Holy Spirit to give us new hearts and to implant the life of Jesus Christ. Work out your own justification? No. The forgiveness of our sins and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us is something that God does for us. Work out your own glorification? Well, that aspect of our salvation hasn't really begun yet. We're not in heavenly glory yet. We've been elected. We know God will preserve us in this life. God gives us a taste of that heavenly glory. every Sabbath day when we gather under the preaching of the gospel to hear the words of our Savior, but that doesn't fit either. Work out and be active in your own glorification? To work out our own salvation is speaking about some aspect of salvation in which we are active, because that word, work out, speaks of an activity. It's a command that comes to us as God's people to do something. And therefore, taking into account all of the above, the salvation that Philippians 2 verse 12 is speaking of is that blessing of salvation that we know as sanctification. Sanctification, which is devotion to God. Sanctification, which is fleeing all that is wicked, all that is sinful. Sanctification, which is all about loveliness and purity and holiness, despising evil and seeking good. Now, if that's the blessing of salvation being spoken of, sanctification, now the command comes there in Philippians 2, verse 12, to work out your own salvation. And that phrase, that word, work out, is speaking of activity. You go to the gym and you get a workout. You mow the lawn in the summertime. You shovel the driveway in the wintertime. You're busy and you're active and you get a workout. But now let's be clear here. To work out our own salvation does not mean to be busy and active trying to get salvation, trying to get it for the first time. That's not the busyness. That's not the activity of working out our own salvation. Trying to get it, trying to obtain it, but this is a salvation, this is a deliverance that God has already given unto us freely of His grace. This is a salvation that we already own, that we already possess. God having given it to us, now the command comes, work out your own salvation. To work out our own salvation means to be busy and active enjoying your salvation. To be busy and active living out that salvation that God has already given unto you. And now let me bring out a number of passages from the Psalms that underscore that point and bring that truth out, that this is what working out our salvation means. So that in the first place, Psalm 13 verse 5 speaks of rejoicing in thy salvation. God gives us salvation. Rejoice in it. Psalm 40 verse 16 speaks of loving the salvation that God has given unto us. That's what it means to work out our own salvation. It means to love that salvation that God has given unto us. And then even further, it's to do what Psalm 96 commands us to do. Psalm 96 verse 2, which says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Which means to go out and to bear tidings of that salvation. And when we show forth God's salvation to others, that's not going to be some cold, lifeless, boring setting forth of facts. That this is what God says in the Scriptures, that He saves His people. And I sure hope it's true of me. That's not showing forth His salvation. But rather, showing forth His salvation means that we go out and we proclaim from the tallest mountaintops in the world the words of Psalm 66, verse 16. Come unto me, and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what He hath done for my soul. That's showing forth the salvation that God has given unto us. When we go forth and we tell others that God has done this for our souls, delivering us from death and destruction, taking away that which we deserve, curse and the condemnation, and now giving unto us that which we don't deserve, life and joy and peace and covenant fellowship with Him. Work out your own salvation. Rejoice in that salvation. Love that salvation. Enjoy that salvation. Show forth that salvation. Live that salvation. But now not simply the blessing of sanctification to the exclusion of all of the other blessings of salvation, but sanctification as a thankful life for all that God has done for us. To use an illustration, you think of a gym. After all, you go to the gym to get a workout, and now you imagine this, that somebody gives you a membership to a gym, and then not some measly gym with broken down treadmills and rusty barbells, but a membership to a world-renowned gym. State-of-the-art facility, brand new equipment, all kinds of perks, a host of benefits. It's open round the clock, and now it's your privilege to make use of that gift and to enjoy that gift and to be busy using that gift. Well, that's what it means to work out your own salvation. God has given you the gift of salvation. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Make use of it. Go out and be busy living that salvation, loving that salvation, and rejoicing in that salvation day by day. To work out our own salvation, then, is speaking about leading a life of faith, so that we will be faithful in the particular work that God has given us to do. Are you a father? Are you a husband? Then work to support your family. Are you a mother, a wife in the home? Be faithful and busy in that labor. Are you a school teacher, an office worker, a tradesman, what have you? Be faithful and busy in that work. But in all your activities, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, relying upon Him, trusting in Him alone for salvation. It means to walk in love and to lay hold of eternal life, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. And then really all of the imperatives of Scripture, all the commands that the Word of God gives you and me, is what it means to work out your own salvation. And now the text uses that very personal language. It speaks of working out your own salvation. Your own. Now, it's true that the salvation God has given unto us is all the same. It consists of all of the blessings that Jesus Christ earned for us by His suffering and death, the forgiveness of sins and righteousness and life and joy and peace, the adoption of sons and daughters. Those are all blessings that Jesus Christ has earned for us. And those are all the blessings of salvation that we have in common. When the text speaks of working out your own salvation, it's speaking of the particular life of salvation that God has determined for you. For some of God's children, He has determined a lifetime of suffering with this ailment or with that disease, so that God was not pleased to give it to somebody else, but God may have been pleased to give it to you. God has determined that you will glorify his name as you live through that pain and as you endure that type of agony to work out your own salvation. For others, God has given difficulties in the family, whether it be the waywardness of children or of our own siblings, and family life becomes difficult as we seek to be a good Christian witness to them. God is pleased to put that difficulty in your life. Work out your own salvation. And so, people of God, what is the will of God for your life? What is the life of salvation God has been pleased to give to you? Does it include financial hardship? Loss of a job? Loneliness? Perhaps even the loss of a spouse, either in death or being forsaken by a spouse? But now it also could be this life of salvation, an abundance of things that God gives unto us, a comfortable life, a life of ease and prosperity. And then that's the life of salvation God has given unto us, and we press all the things that God gives to us into the service of his name, but usually we think of the trials. And we remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Asia Minor that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. But what is that life of salvation that God has determined for you? And now the exhortation comes, work it out. Live that life of salvation that God has determined for you. And don't do it grudgingly, don't do it half-heartedly, but live to the glory of God and let your life be a testimony to the power of God's grace to give you contentment, to give you joy, to give you peace, to work out your own salvation. Oh, beloved, that's what it means to work out your own salvation. God has saved you. God has clothed you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now go out in the world and don't be afraid of that clothing. Don't be ashamed of that clothing. So that the text, there's no room. There's no room for laziness in the Christian life. No place for slothfulness. No room for the attitude, well, it doesn't matter what I do, because the scriptures are very clear, work out your own salvation. That's what you need to do. And the Christian who knows in his hearts the depths from which he has been delivered from all his sins and miseries, can't do anything but obey this command. And God speaks to us as moral, rational creatures, speaks to us right here in this November evening, in 2021, to us gathered in Dune Protestant Reformed Church, with all your cares, with all your duties, God says, work out your own salvation. Live a sanctified, godly life. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and perform more and more fruit, God says, to the glory of my name. And so we don't shrink back from the calling that God gives unto us, and we don't shy away even from using this language, but we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can work out my own salvation. And the reason is this, verse 13, for it's God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is the divine power. This is the explanation. This is the reason why we are able to do what God commands. For it is God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now let's understand this right away, because it's God who works in us. There's no room, therefore, for man to puff himself up and say, look at what I've done. I've worked out my own salvation, and now God owes me something. This is my merit with God. Man can't say that. Man cannot take credit for anything. And we know that because it's God who's working in you and God who's working in me. And that word worketh in verse 13 is a very important word. It's not the same word that's used in verse 12. That word in verse 12, work out, that's simply speaking of an activity. It's speaking of a doing. It's speaking of a busyness. But this particular Greek word used in verse 13, worketh, with God as the subject, is an altogether different word. It's the word from which we get our English word energy. And when you have energy, then you have the power to do something. You may have strong arms, you may have strong legs, but if you don't have any energy, then you are absolutely useless and you won't accomplish anything. But now verse 13, this is speaking about the power of God. This is speaking of a divine power, an efficacious power to produce the intended effect, so that you work and you exercise yourself in the salvation that God has given unto you, and you do that because God is the one who is sovereignly and powerfully working in and through you to accomplish all his good pleasure. And therefore, God is the source of all our energy. Not only our physical strength, of course, but then even and more especially our spiritual strength and energy. And we say, where does that come from? What explains that we have the spiritual strength and energy to come here to church this evening? What explains that we actively love God and that we love the Lord Jesus Christ? And that we love the fellow saints and the body of Jesus Christ. That takes a lot of spiritual energy. Where does that come from? God is the source. God is the source of your energy that never runs out. Even as God is from everlasting to everlasting the same, so also God works in you, in all his people, and gives them that energy to continue in the Christian life, a source of strength that can never be taken away. The efficacious power is all of God to see you through. And now we draw from that strength of God and we press on in the Christian life. The text says that God works in you. And God works in you, and he works in me by giving us the Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that now we are given the mind of Jesus Christ, given the mind of humility, given the mind of a servant. And it's all because God sovereignly, powerfully working in us. But what specifically does God work in us? Well, the text calls our attention to two things, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what God works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's in harmony with what we read in Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Where the apostle states that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who shows mercy. Well, what is the good pleasure of God that he works in us both to will and to do? God's good pleasure, well, that's the glory of His name. That's the exaltation of His Son, Jesus Christ, for the work that He performed on the cross of Calvary in obedience to the Father, suffering for all the sins of God's people that God gave to Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. It's the honor and the glory. It's the praise and the majesty that is to be directed to God and to our Savior in all our thoughts. And in all our actions, it was the good pleasure of God even to create us. And why did God create us? Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, so that God's good pleasure is that we walk in all good works. That's the purpose of our creation, and in that way, working out our own salvation. That's the good pleasure of God, and now God causes that to be done in our willing and in our doing. Our willing, that refers to my thoughts, my desires, my aspirations, those things that I long for, my willing. What does the Bible declare of our willing? Is it something that arises in me? No. Psalm 110, verse 3. God makes us willing in the day of His power. God makes us willing. So that He makes me see my sin. And seeing my sin, my desire that God works in me is to hate that sin. And to flee that sin. And to see it as something that's hideous and ugly. God works in me the desire to embrace Jesus Christ. To trust in Him alone. And never to think that I can stand before God on the basis of my own works, which are nothing but filthy rags, but to exalt the work of Jesus Christ. God makes us willing. God works in us that desire to love God, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify Him. God works in us not only to will of His good pleasure, but then to do of His good pleasure, so that having willed to glorify His name, then we actually do it. And we come to God's house and we sing forth His praises so that we not only have a desire to help the neighbor, but then we give expression to that desire by actually going out and performing that work and helping the neighbor in his or her need. And again, what's the explanation for our willing and for our doing? It's God's working in us so that we do will of His good pleasure and that we do of His good pleasure. You see, God not only makes the blind man want to see, think of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus says to him, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? Here's the desire, here's the will of that man. Lord, that I might receive my sight. God makes him willing, and then God also opens that person's eyes so that he does see. God not only makes the lame man want to walk, think of that lame man at the pool of Bethesda, but then God also loosens that man's limbs so that he actually does stand up and walk. And so it is in our lives. God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And now that figure of a lame man is especially helpful for us because when God commands us to work out our own salvation, He gives us the power to do it. And yet all the glory goes to God for Him giving unto us what He commands us to do. So that to use the illustration of that lame man at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, Jesus going to the pool of Bethesda, and there lying on the ground is that lame man waiting for the waters to stir and to be troubled, and so that he can try and drag himself in and to be healed. And after the lame man explains the situation to Jesus, I can't walk, and somebody always gets to the pool before I'm able to get there. And then Jesus says to that man, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that man stands up. And he obeys that command, and he walks. But now consider this. Who would dare to accuse that lame man who was simply being obedient to the voice of Jesus Christ, but who would dare accuse him, why are you walking? Well, you are sure giving me the distinct impression that you are walking in your own strength. I see your knees bend. I see your legs jump. There's lots of activity going on. And I think that you're taking credit for doing that all by yourself. And how would that lame man respond? That lame man would say, brother, the Lord told me to rise up and to walk. And so I did it. Of course I don't rise up in my own strength. And of course I don't stand before you in my own strength. Isn't it obvious? I was lame, and everybody knew it, but the power by which I stood up, the power by which I will continue to walk, is not attributed to me, but it's attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord told me to rise up, I could do no otherwise. I obeyed, and I did it. But it's all a demonstration of His power and none of my own. And so also, beloved, to us, God commands us, work out your own salvation. And then we do it, and we obey. We obey gladly, we obey joyfully, and we understand that when God gives us a command, that doesn't imply that we have the strength to do it in ourselves, even as this layman of John chapter 5 didn't have the strength in himself to rise up by himself. The power is all of God. Give God the glory. As Philippians 2 verse 13 states, for it's God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when God works in you, and when God works in me so that we do will and do of His good pleasure, then God works in an altogether profound and mysterious way. Working in such a way that we want what He works in us. This is confessional with us, Canons of Dort, third and fourth head of doctrine, Article 16, where we read that God does not treat us as senseless stocks and blocks, but when He regenerates us, He does not take away our will, does not take away the properties of our will. And now neither does violence thereto, but spiritually quickens, heals, corrects, and at the same time sweetly and powerfully bends it. So that God is the one who is working powerfully and effectually. God works in my life to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we work out our own salvation, knowing the power is all of God who works in us, then that will make us very humble. Then we will work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But it means that we're going to be humble. We will have that humble spirit. And as we work out our own salvation, we will be humble because we will be given the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ whereby he humbled himself and he lowered himself and he became a servant. And when we work out our own salvation, God gives us that humility. And we will not be filled with pride. No pride. How could we? It's God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Fear, that speaks of honoring and reverencing and standing in awe of God and of his ways with me. Trembling, that's what we do when we consider the almighty power of God. We tremble. We don't fear and we don't tremble like the ungodly. There's a certain respect in which the ungodly fear and tremble before God. They fear and tremble because of the judgment of God coming their way. They fear and tremble because of the damnation that God has in store for them. But that's not our fear. That's not our trembling. Our fear and trembling is because God has given us to know who he is. That he is the God of our salvation. That he is the God who has not given us that which we deserve, death and damnation, but given unto us that which Jesus Christ has merited for us, peace and joy and righteousness and the right to eternal life. Our fear and trembling is knowing that this powerful God is the one who's working in me, the one who gives me the Holy Spirit, which makes me willing in the day of his power to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I say, what child of God would not fear and tremble knowing that the God of my salvation is near me and in me and working powerfully in me to accomplish all his good pleasure. And so, beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that make you cringe? Does that command make you uneasy? Does it make you angry that God commands you to do something that you do not have the power to do in yourself? Well, tonight our confession is this. We love the salvation that God has given unto us, full and free in Jesus Christ. And when God commands me to live to the glory of his name and to work out and enjoy and live and show forth that salvation that he's given unto me, and I will obey, and I will do as he commands, because I know that it's God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as Philippians 4 verse 8 says, a few chapters later, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can work out my own salvation to the glory of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Cause that we would work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that we would go forth and live that salvation and enjoy that salvation, and that we may show that this is all the power of thy grace working in us, power of thy Spirit accomplishing all thy good pleasure in our working and in our doing. We thank thee that we may know thee, that thou hast revealed thyself to us, and that knowing thee is life eternal. Forgive graciously our sins. Bless us in the multitude of thy mercy. Make us to be a very humble people before thee and in our relationships one with another, giving unto us the mind and the humility of Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in his name alone. Amen.